Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
You say, okay, John, I'm with you so far. I don't dispute that Jesus actually existed. Seems to be the case that he was crucified, and it seems to be that he was buried in a tomb. That's fine, I can accept that. But did he really rise from the dead? Isn't that the crucial point? Let's think. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Yes, he did.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Most people accept that Jesus was a historical figure, and he was crucified on a Roman cross. But it's what happened next that makes all the difference to the Christian faith. Today on The Verdict, we're pausing our study in Revelation as Pastor John Monroe begins our special Easter series with the question that can forever change your life. Did Jesus really rise from the dead?
This week on The Verdict, we're taking a break from our study in the book of Revelation to focus on the sacrifice and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in advance of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear that if Jesus did not literally and bodily rise from the dead, Christianity totally collapses. Our faith is in vain. So, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is there evidence that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead? I believe there is an abundance of evidence. But the verdict is yours. Let's begin our special Easter series by looking first at the evidence for the death and burial of Jesus, and then next time, the evidence for his resurrection.
When I practiced law, we were taught the art of asking questions. That often a case rises or falls on the ability to ask the right question at the right time in the right way. When our son Christopher was a little boy at school, as he came home, I often used to ask him, it used to irritate him a little bit, I would ask him, did you ask any good questions today at school? Because the ability to ask the right question is, I think, very, very important in life. Today's question is, I would suggest to you, one of the most important questions that any of us could ever ask. The question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? I wonder how you would respond to that. Christianity claims that Jesus really did rise from the dead, physically, bodily, not just in the mystical sense, not just in the sense that there's a change of life, circle of life, kind of spring, new beginning, not that kind of thing. But we who follow Jesus believe that on the third day, Jesus really rose from the dead. But is that true? Or is it just myth? Is it a psychological crutch that we cling to in difficult times at a funeral service or to get through tough times in life? Is it in the nature of a legend, a myth, a kind of fairy tale? Or even worse, as some would say, is it a deception which the early Christians perpetuated in order to further their cause? What do you think? 4 or 5 years ago, atheists in the United Kingdom had an advertising campaign. Atheism is on the rise in Europe, it's on the rise here. But in all honesty, I like talking to atheists. But these atheists in the United Kingdom bought advertising space on buses, particularly double-decker buses. Some of you, if you visited London, you may have seen them. And on the bus, there was this slogan, there's probably no God. Notice probably. Maybe a bit more agnostic than atheist. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Smart, sophisticated, cool. Notice the assumption in the statement, incidentally, that belief in God apparently stops us from enjoying life. Quite the contrary. I feel sorry for the atheist trying to get enjoyment out of life by attempting to prove someone doesn't exist. They don't believe in. And they spend their life trying to prove someone they don't believe in doesn't exist. That doesn't seem a very enjoyable way of spending life, does it? But there we are. But leaving that aside, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one of the evidences that there is a God. After all, if Jesus really rose from the dead, there is a supernatural, there is a God. A number of us from church, as we were visiting Israel and Jordan, we stood in what is called the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. Many of you have been there. If you've never been on a trip to Israel, I commend it to you. And we looked into the tomb. In fact, we were able to go into the tomb. And I want to tell you something, that tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And today, millions of Christians throughout the world have shouted this great cry, this fundamental belief of the Christian faith, that Christ is risen. That's what we believe. And the resurrection is unique to Christianity. But is it true? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? When Bertrand Russell, the famous English philosopher, was asked what he would say if God were to ask him after his death why he had not believed, here was his witty, cool, sophisticated reply. Not enough evidence, God, not enough evidence. But is that true? Is there not enough evidence for the existence of God? Well, here is some of the evidence that Jesus did really rise from the dead. First of all, we want to say and to establish that Jesus died on a cross. If you've got your Bible there, I'd ask you to turn to the fourth gospel, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth gospel, one of the eyewitnesses, a close disciple, in fact, one of the inner circle, who knew Jesus very well. Here is his account, part of it at any rate, of the death of Jesus on the cross, John 19, and we'll read from verse 16. John 19, 16, so he, that is Pontius Pilate, delivered him, that is Jesus, over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. We normally know the place as Calvary, but in the Aramaic and in the Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I'm the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. An account of Jesus' death on a cross. Some people, of course, say, and you may have read some of the new atheists try to say this, that Jesus didn't actually exist. We want to say very strongly, Jesus is a historical figure. He actually lived and died. He walked on this earth. And the historical evidence for the existence of Jesus is overwhelming. Christopher Tuckett of the University of Oxford writes, the fact that Jesus existed, that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, for whatever reason, and that he had a band of followers who continued to support his cause, seems to be part of the bedrock of historical tradition. Gerd Thiessen, a German New Testament historian and hardly a conservative, he writes, the notices about Jesus in Jewish and pagan writers, especially those in Josephus, the letter of Serapion, and Tacitus, indicate that in antiquity the historicity of Jesus was taken for granted, and rightly so. He goes on to say, the execution of Jesus was offensive for any worship of Jesus. As a scandal, it cannot have been invented. Scholars saying there is no doubt there was a man called Jesus. Now, you may not believe he's God, but there's historical evidence, abundant historical evidence, that Jesus existed. And of course, we have the New Testament manuscripts, the New Testament record. It's amazing how people want to dismiss the record of the New Testament written in the first century by eyewitnesses and by someone like Dr. Luke after careful research. And the New Testament manuscripts attest that Jesus Christ was crucified by the Romans. And the evidence for the original text of the New Testament is overwhelming. There are 5,664 partial or complete manuscripts of the New Testament in the original Greek language that have been cataloged, making the New Testament the best attested document from the ancient world, far superior to any other, unparalleled. And even if you don't believe in the inspiration of the New Testament, I believe it is inspired by God, but even if you don't believe that, there is no doubt that the New Testament Gospels, as history, contain authentic eyewitnesses that Jesus existed. He's a historical figure. And furthermore, as we've read, there is abundant evidence that this man called Jesus, who lived and died, died on a cross. There are those who try to assert that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. They say, oh yes, there was this guy called Jesus, but he didn't actually die on the cross. Some have speculated that Jesus swooned into an unconscious coma, but didn't actually die. According to these theories, what happened on Easter Sunday was that Jesus in the tomb, as he got a little cool, revived from the swoon. Our Muslim friends also deny that Jesus died on the cross. They believe that Jesus is a special prophet and Allah would never have permitted one of his special prophets to die in such a degrading way. But we read one of the accounts in the New Testament of the death of Jesus. And you may be interested to discover that the death of Jesus on a cross is also recorded by several non-Christian historians. People who are not believers, people who did not follow Jesus, such as Josephus, who lived in AD 37, died in the year AD 100. He's a first century Jewish historian. This is what he writes, Josephus. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing amongst us, had condemned him to be crucified. Pretty impressive account, isn't it, by a first century Jewish historian. And then Tacitus, who lived from 56 to 117 AD, a Roman senator, a historian, well-known character in Roman history, he wrote, Christus, the Latin for Christ, Christus suffered the extreme penalty, that is crucifixion, during the reign of Tiberius, that's the emperor, at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate, in that way confirming the New Testament account. According to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was flogged. He had a crown of thorns pressed on his head. The flogging was done by a whip, a cruel instrument, pieces of metal and bone attached to it. It went so deep, the flogging with that metal and bone went so deep into the flesh of the victim, it's a form of torture, of course, that it was not unknown for the accused to die before the crucifixion. The pain, the injuries were so extensive. Jesus was crucified, it was thought, using nails about 5 to 7 inches long, 3/8 square, going through his hands and his feet. His side was pierced with a Roman spear to ensure that Jesus was dead. The spear almost certainly penetrated his right lung, going into his heart, releasing blood and fluid. There is no doubt from history, from the historical record of the New Testament and other non-Christian sources that Jesus died the death of crucifixion. It's very interesting in the Gospels to learn that after the death of Jesus, this man, Joseph, coming from a place called Arimathea, he asked Pilate, the Roman judge, the Roman procurator, permission to bury the body of Jesus. Joseph was a secret follower. Pilate was very surprised to hear that Jesus should have already died, Mark says in Mark 15. On summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Did you get that? The chief Roman executioner, the centurion, the man given the task of killing the prisoner, is certifying to the judge who's responsible for it, the Roman procurator, being appointed by Tiberius, the emperor, he certifies to Pontius Pilate that the victim, the accused, this one Jesus, is in fact truly dead. After all, not to have killed Jesus would have meant sudden death for the centurion and the other soldiers responsible for the crucifixion. These were veteran soldiers. They were Romans. They'd put men to death on a cross before. It was a form of torture. What was surprising in this case of Jesus, that he died quicker than the others. But they knew how to put someone to death on a cross. Gerd Ludman, an atheist scholar, writes, "Jesus' death as a consequence of crucifixion is indisputable. Jesus died on a cross." What have we established so far? That Jesus actually existed as a historical figure and that he died on a cross. Secondly, Jesus was buried in a tomb. If your Bible's open there to John 19, read with me in verse 38. John 19, verse 38, "After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews," he's a wealthy man, "he asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, a member of the Sanhedrin, a very prominent man, a ruler of the Jews, he came along with Joseph, now bringing a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there." Joseph of Arimathea and this man called Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, bury Jesus in a tomb. Members of the Jewish Sanhedrin, remember, the Jewish Sanhedrin was utterly opposed to Jesus. They were hostile against Jesus. And therefore, the fact that members of the Sanhedrin, like Joseph and Nicodemus, would have asked for the body of Jesus sounds very authentic. After all, if the New Testament writers had made up this story that I just read, it would have been very easy for the Sanhedrin to discredit it by producing these men. No, it was true that Jesus was buried in a new tomb. Notice that. He's buried in a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. That meant that the body of Jesus cannot be confused with anyone else's. Furthermore, according to the New Testament account, women who were followers of Jesus, who loved Jesus, who were very close to Jesus, they followed and they also saw where the body of Jesus was laid, according to Mark chapter 15. The Jewish religious establishment were very concerned that Jesus would rise again. After all, he had prophesied that. And therefore, what do? They secure the tomb with a Roman guard. Guard the tomb. They rolled over the entrance to the tomb a large stone and it's sealed. This was done to prevent the disciples or anyone else coming and moving the body from the tomb and so claiming that there had been a resurrection. Do you get the point? There is no question that after his death on the cross, Jesus was buried in a tomb. You say, okay, John, I'm with you so far. I don't dispute that Jesus actually existed. Seems to be the case that he was crucified by the Romans. And it seems to be that he was buried in a tomb. That's fine, I can accept that. But did he really rise from the dead? Isn't that the crucial point? Well, his death is important. Obviously, we have to establish his death before we can talk about the resurrection. And the death of Jesus for our sins, of course, has profound implications. But let's think, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Yes, he did. Number one, the tomb was empty. Do you know who first publicized that Jesus really did rise from the dead? Publicized in a general way. If they'd had Facebook and Twitter and all of that, it would have been put on the Facebook. Do you know who were the first people to do that? Not followers of Jesus. The Jewish leaders. The New Testament tells us that it was the Jewish leaders, I find this very intriguing. The Jewish leaders circulated the story first that the disciples of Jesus had stolen the body while the guards had slept at the tomb. Now, is it feasible that they slept at the tomb? You might get one guy dozing off. But this is your task. You're just there. He's just died. He's just put in the tomb and you're on guard. Is it really feasible that they fell asleep? Now, here was a preemptive strike by the Jewish leaders to counter the inevitable proclamation that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead. But the very fact, you follow this, the very fact that they circulated the story proves the point that the tomb was empty. If the body of Jesus was still there, there would be no reason to circulate the story that the disciples had stolen the body. Furthermore, if Jesus did not really rise from the dead, wouldn't his body have been quickly produced by the Jewish authorities or the Roman authorities to stamp out this silly notion that Jesus really did rise from the dead? Evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Number one, the tomb is empty. Secondly, and very powerfully, the testimony of eyewitnesses. The first witnesses at the empty tomb and the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ were women, according to John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. You say, why is it important that they were women? It's very important. In the first century Jewish culture, in the first century Jewish legal system, women were not normally considered to be competent witnesses. What's the point? The point is this, very important point. If we who are following Jesus wanted to fabricate a story about Jesus rising from the dead, we would not have chosen women as the first eyewitnesses of the empty tomb and of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The fact that the biblical account mentions these women is a very strong argument, isn't it, for the historical accuracy of the biblical account. Women not only saw the empty tomb, they saw the resurrected Christ. Why would you discount their powerful evidence? Furthermore, two of the disciples, Peter and John, heard the report about the empty tomb from the woman, and they very wisely checked it out for themselves. The woman said, listen, this is what we've seen. And they go and they check it out themselves. Direct eyewitness testimony. And the testimony of these disciples who had been so disillusioned is this. This man, Jesus, that you put on a cross, God raised up, and we are his witnesses. We are witnesses of his resurrection.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Did Jesus Really Rise from the Dead? John has a few closing remarks coming up in just a moment, so stay with us. Our regular listeners know that our ministry is committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And if you want to help by being a part of this gospel work, please consider supporting The Verdict with a gift of any amount. It's easy to give when you visit theverdict.org. Or if you'd like to send a gift in the mail, let me give you the address. You can write to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And then before we close, we also want to invite you to join us for worship this Easter Sunday here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road. Come visit us in person to celebrate Easter together this Sunday morning, or join us from wherever you are through our live stream online. For more details about our Easter services or any of our ministries, just visit our home church website at calvarychurch.com. Then one final reminder that you can always listen to these messages whenever you want and wherever you go by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast, available through your favorite podcast app. When you subscribe, please consider leaving a 5-star rating and a comment to help other listeners find the program. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks for today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? This is one of the most important questions you'll ever answer. Do you believe that Jesus actually lived and that he died on the cross and was buried in a tomb? If so, what's your verdict? The testimony of the Holy Scriptures is that not only did Jesus die on a cross, but that he died for our sins. That is why we call him Jesus, Savior. Do you know him? Join me next time as we think that Jesus not only died and was buried, but rose from the dead.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.